So if you don't know, during the summer, we have the opportunity to have our different staff pastors rotating and bringing a word. And so for the last two summers, we have been in a sermon series called Believe, where we have been doing a dive into the study of the book of John, okay? But next Sunday, we're gonna have Pastor Jay back with a fresh, brand new sermon series, and he's gonna be bringing us a fresh word. So if you're watching online or you're here in person, I wanna encourage you guys to come expectant next weekend for the word that God has already prepared for us, amen? Amen. Well, I want to invite the presence of the Lord to be the one to minister to us today. So will you guys join me in prayer? Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Father God, Lord, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for who you are. Thank you because no amount of life here on earth, God, will ever allow us to fully understand the goodness of who you are, God. And so this morning, we come, Lord, with hearts that are hungry for more of you. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be the one to guide me, that every single word that comes from you, God, would pierce every person's heart. And Lord, I pray that any word that comes from me in my flesh to fall on deaf ears. We invite you, Lord, to flood this sanctuary, God, and help us to be able to receive everything that you want us to for your kingdom and your glory alone. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen, amen. Well, I gotta tell you guys, this summer has been a productive one for our church. I mean, we've had VBS, we've had back-to-back summer camps, and your girl has had a full heart. I have had so many beautiful and unforgettable experiences. I do wanna say that there is one experience that I would like to forget, like today, okay? So if you guys hear about this alleged golf cart incident that some of our kids' camp leaders just will not stop talking about, just do not pay attention to that, okay? They're being a little bit dramatic. So aside from that, though, it's been an incredible summer, and my heart has been so full. And I gotta boast here for a second, and I know it's gonna sound a little prideful, but I am so proud of myself, okay? Let me tell you why. I have never been to camp before, okay? I went to kids' camp maybe for a little bit when I was young, but I never stayed overnight, okay? And your girl got to go to two camps back to back. I wanna make a shout out to Danielle Stone because she was the real MVP who got to experience both camps with me. And I'm boasting because I was so proud of myself. My husband was like, oh yeah, I gotta be a part of this chat. I can't wait to see what happens. But I feel like I handled it pretty well. I was like, okay, look at me. I'm ready, I'm killing it, I'm crushing it. And everything was going well until day three of kids camp when my phone died, okay? Now, how many of you guys know that nowadays being without your phone, right? That can be a challenge, am I right? But being without your phone, okay, for multiple nights when you're away at kids camp and you are responsible for the kids around you, that is not a challenge, that is a crisis, okay? Your girl was in a crisis. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And so I thought that the problem was this old phone charger that I had actually decided to foolishly pack. And so my sweet friend Kayla was like, hey girl, I actually have a fully charged portable battery that you can use. I said, perfect, let's plug that bad boy in. Let me get that sucker charged because I need my phone, okay? I don't know what tomorrow holds, but it was intense in the best way possible. And after hours of charging it, my phone was still not turning on. And so at this point, I am so frustrated. I'm like, are you kidding me? But it turns out that the issue was not the phone. Sorry, the issue was not the charger. See, I thought the old charger that I had brought was the issue, but it turns out that the issue was actually the phone. The vessel was the charger because there was something in the vessel that was blocking the proper flow of power. So even though there was power that was readily available to it, the phone was not in a position to be able to receive it. And if I'm honest with you guys, I think that that is how some of us sometimes live our Christian life. Sometimes we feel so spiritually dry and we feel stuck, and so we decide to come to church for a quick recharge. Maybe we come to a Sunday service or a soak service and we pray, God, help me to feel your presence again. But what if the issue is not the source of power? What if the issue is us? What if it's our connection that's blocked? See, I think that some of us are trying to live our Christian walk. We're trying to follow Jesus without walking in an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so it's because of that that we feel stuck. It's because of that that we feel spiritually dry and we feel like we're defeated, we're discouraged, we're not sure how to progress. Because we can have access to all of the power in heaven, but if we are not walking in step with the Holy Spirit, we will not be able to experience it in the way that God designed for us to. I think that that's sometimes what we go through right now. But the thing is that God never intended for us to follow Jesus in our own strength. He knew that it would be difficult. He knew that we would need help. And that's exactly why Jesus tells his disciples in John 14 that he is going to ask the Father to send us a helper. Because that helper, the Holy Spirit, he is not just for a moment at the altar. He is not just to speak in tongues. No, he is for our everyday life. He is to encourage us, to empower us, to fill us, to strengthen us, to be able to live our life in the way that God designed for us to live. That is who the Holy Spirit is. And so here today, I am aware that we are in a sanctuary. We're in a room full of people who are in different seasons of life, right? You're in different seasons of your faith. And so I just want to speak to you, and I want to encourage every single person that if one of these is something that you relate to, then I want to encourage you to lean in, okay? So if you are maybe new to the faith here with us, or maybe you're watching online and you're new to the faith, or maybe you are a believer in Christ, but maybe the Holy Spirit still feels unfamiliar to you. Maybe you've been exploring, you've been asking questions, you're trying to figure things out, okay? But honestly, whenever you hear the phrase Holy Ghost, it's something that you're like, I don't know how I think about that. I don't want to feel about that. I'm not familiar with that term. And so because of that, you're kind of uneasy and you're not really sure how to lean in. Or maybe you're in the room today and you are one of our kids or one of our students that just got back from summer camp and you encountered God in such a powerful way. But when you got back, it turns out that maybe your experience was maybe a little bit different than your parents' experience with the Holy Spirit or your friends' experience or some of your leaders' experience. And so because of that, you're sitting here and you're like, okay, now I have questions. Now I'm starting to doubt. Now I'm not really sure. Maybe you're here with us this morning and you grew up in a church where you learned to associate the Holy Spirit with moments like speaking in tongues or being at the altar. And while all of those experiences are so beautiful and they're so holy and they're so real, maybe you unintentionally learned to associate the Holy Spirit with only big, loud, and dramatic moments. But what if the Holy Spirit is not just found in the fire and the wind? What if he's also found in the quiet whisper? What if he's not just power for a moment, but a steady presence for our everyday life? Maybe you're with us here today and you have been working in ministry, serving in ministry, and from the outside looking in, it looks like everything is running smoothly. But on the inside, maybe you're discouraged and maybe you're tired and your spiritual tank is running low. And if you're honest with yourself, you have been leaning more on your own strength, your own schedule, your own strategies, your own ideas than on the Holy Spirit. The problem isn't that you don't love God. The problem is that you have been walking more out of rhythm with the Spirit than in sync with him. Or maybe this is for you. Maybe you have experienced the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've walked with him. You've had some powerful seasons in your life. But lately, life to you, okay? Things got hard, right? And disappointment crept in. And now the fire that you once had feels really dim. And the hunger that you had has faded. And so you found yourself asking God, Lord, was that just for a season? Is this it? Is this all I'm going to experience? Do you have more for me? If you're able to relate to any of these, then I want to lovingly encourage you today that this message is for you. Because today we're going to be talking about John 14, the promise of the Spirit, and we're going to be going into who the Holy Spirit is and how important he is to our faith journey, okay? So the title of my message today is The One Who Came to Stay. The One Who Came to Stay. So John 14, 26 says, so for context, this is Jesus, and he is talking to his disciples at the Last Supper. This is before he gets arrested and crucified, okay? And so we read, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. There's a couple of observations that I want to make right now. The first one is that Jesus does not say a helper. No, he says the Helper, which tells us that there is one specific person that he is referring to, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit here is synonymous with the Helper, okay? And I don't know about you guys, but Jesus says that the Holy Spirit, this Helper, is going to help you and I be able to remember everything that Jesus came to share with us. And I think that it would be so foolish of us to not receive help that God knew we would need. I think it's so beautiful that God knew that at some point, many points, most of our points in our walk with Christ, he knew that we would need help. And because of that, he made the intentional decision to send the person that would be able to be with us and help us through all things. In fact, he's not just referred to as a helper, he's referred to as a gift. In Acts 1:4-5, it says, they're talking about Jesus here. Once, when he was eating with them, I don't think you guys have this verse, which is okay, so I'm gonna share it with you. Once, when he was eating with them, so this is Jesus that they are talking about, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus here makes it abundantly clear that the Holy Spirit is a gift. Guys, he is a gift sent from the creator of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega. God our Father sent us a gift because he knew that we would need him. I think that hearing that God intentionally sent us a gift should honestly make us welcome him with open hands and open hearts and open. Church is full of different, again, people who are different seasons of their life, but I do know that there are some people here, and that is okay, who maybe feel kind of hesitant, and maybe it's not because you've had this personal experience with the Holy Spirit, but it's because of what you've seen from others, what you've heard, and so because it's not something that you're familiar with, you're kind of afraid, and you've been keeping the Holy Spirit at arm's length. You're not even giving him the chance to really show you who he is. A couple of years ago, I had a mountain biking accident, and I ended up injuring my back. I had two bulging discs, and because of that, I was extremely limited in how I was able to move my body and work out. And so I had a lot of pain, and because of that pain, I was kind of limited. And I just got used to living with that pain. And all of my friends would always tell me, girl, you need to go to the chiropractor. And every time they would tell me that, I'd be like, no, thank you. And I was so hesitant, but it wasn't because of a personal experience that I had had, it was because of perception. Because all I knew about chiropractors were all of these wild videos that I'd watch online where they're literally like bending people in half and popping and cracking them like glow sticks. And I'm like, no, thank you. I'm okay. I don't need that. I'm gonna end up being more hurt. I'm good. Thank you. But then in comes my husband into my life, right? And he's like seeing me with this terrible, terrible chronic back pain. And he's like, you really need to go to the chiropractor. And so he finally convinces me to go to the chiropractor. And can I tell you guys something? I learned something so important. I learned that the chiropractor's job was not to bend me and make me pop and crack. His job was to align me. His job was to gently move back into the right place all of the parts of my back that were preventing me from living the life that God had designed for me to live. The chiropractor helped me be able to move and walk without pain. He helped me be able to live a life that God had designed for me to be able to live. And if I'm honest with you guys, I think that that is how some of us view the Holy Spirit. We view him as someone strange. We're afraid because we've seen things or we've heard stories. And so some of us have even been taught to only associate him with speaking in tongues. And while that's not bad, because you've never spoken in tongues maybe, or because you don't know what that's like, maybe that's weird to you or maybe it's unfamiliar. And so you keep him at an arm's length. But just like the chiropractor, I think that we've misunderstood his role because yes, the Holy Spirit can and may express himself in beautiful and powerful ways, like speaking in tongues. But his job, he was not sent to make us uncomfortable. His job is to realign us, to strengthen whatever's inside of us that's weak, to help us be able to live and move in a way that God designed for us to move in his kingdom, to work in his kingdom. He is not someone that we should avoid. He is someone that we should welcome. Because the helper is a gift who was sent to guide us and to teach us. That is his role. And so he is someone that we need to be able to welcome. And so if you're here today or you're watching online and you have been feeling like spiritually you're out of sync, like you're doing all the right things. You love Jesus, right? You pray, you come to church, but something still feels off. Maybe it's the fact that you have been avoiding the very person that God has sent into your life to be able to have you be in alignment with his heart and all of the things that he's already ordained for your life. The Holy Spirit wasn't sent as some distant coach to yell at you instructions, to demand things from you. He was sent to be a blessing to your life, to help be able to make sure that you are receiving everything that you need to receive, that you're healthy, And so that is so important. That brings me to my second point, because my second point today is that the Holy Spirit doesn't want something from you. He wants to be with you. John 14, 23, again, the same scenario. This is Jesus talking to his disciples at the Last Supper. And so we read, Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and dwell with him." There's a few observations that I want to make here. The first one is that when Jesus says, "My Father will love him," that tells you and I that the Holy Spirit came to us out of a place of love from God the Father, okay? So that should also tell us, it should give us peace to know that the Holy Spirit does not come to take something from us. He does not come to demand something from us. He does not come so that we have to prove ourselves to him. That is not who the Holy Spirit is. I also want to point out the word that says dwell, because that is not a casual word. In fact, in other Bible translations, dwell is replaced with make our home with him. And so that tells us that he is not here for some quick occasional visit, he's not here for some quick act of power here or there. No, he is here to take up a permanent residence with you and I. He is here for a long-term relationship. And that, my friends, is real intimacy. That is real intimacy. When my husband and I were dating, we had only been dating for a couple of months, and then my father passed away. And when my dad passed away, I was visiting my parents' house in Miami, and Chris was in Orlando, and that was 4 hours away. And the moment that Chris heard the news, he immediately made the decision to drive down to Miami, he booked a hotel, and he decided to stay for the entire weekend, even though he knew that I would barely be able to see him, that I would not be able to spend time with him, and he still did it. This man didn't show up with the perfect words to say to me. He wasn't trying to fix a problem. He wasn't looking to get something from me. He was looking to be there with me. He intentionally and willingly walked into a weekend full of my Colombian family, which he had never met, okay, and half of which they didn't speak English, and he still did it. He was present. He was quiet. He wasn't demanding the spotlight. He wasn't asking or expecting anything from me. He was simply there to be with me. And can I tell you guys something? That is the moment where all of my walls came crashing down, because I had a lot of walls when we were dating. I was like, I need to make sure this man is not trying to get something else from me. I am a woman of the Lord. I am looking for a man. And he continued to show that to me, but my walls and my guards were still up. And the moment that happened, I realized that he was not some temporary person in my life. I realized that he was there to stay. That's the moment that I realized that he did not want something from me. He wanted something for me. And that's the moment that I realized that I loved him, and I told him that. See, some of us, we're looking at the Holy Spirit, and we're leaning on him for an occasional act of power. But the truth is that he is not a force. He's not a backup plan. He's a person. He's a person who desires intimacy with us. And he does not want to be an emergency person that we lean on. He wants to be an everyday companion. He's not an emergency contact. Can I tell you guys something? Can I just keep it real 100? The Holy Spirit's power, yes, it's real. The gifts are beautiful too. But the presence is everything. The presence has been what has saved me in my darkest times, when I have been in a dark place about to make negative decisions and it could affect the rest of my life. His presence has been what saved me. His friendship has been the one to sustain me. When everyone else in my life walked away, the Holy Spirit was the friend that I could count on. His presence is everything. If I could never receive his power again or all of his gifts, I would be content with just his presence, because his presence is what transforms you. And it's not just from the outside in, it's from the inside out. His presence is everything. Don't just seek what he can do for you. Seek who he wants to be to you. The Holy Spirit is looking for you and him to be friends. He wants to be your comforter. He wants to be a steady presence in your most broken moments, because that is intimacy. That is relationship. That is love. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. So maybe you're here today or you're watching online and you have relied on the Holy Spirit for moments of power. That's okay, but I want to invite you to take it a step further. I want to invite you to build that intimacy with him, to have that friendship with him, because you will discover that nothing else in this world will ever be able to fill you like his love can. When you get presence, you get everything you need. And that's not religion, that is relationship. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit desires. My third point for today is the Holy Spirit doesn't just help you belong, he helps you become. So my first point, we talked about what the Holy Spirit does, right? And that's that he comes to help us. My second point, we kind of talked about why, and that's because he desires intimacy with us. He wants to be close with us, okay? But right now, for my last point, we're going to talk about what happens when we say yes to him fully, okay? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't just want to walk with you. He empowers you. He doesn't just want to help you belong. He wants to help you become the person that God has called you to be. And so the Bible actually shows us three different types of baptisms. And so being able to understand the difference between them, especially the difference between being filled with the Spirit and being baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's key, okay? So I want to do a disclaimer. For some of us, as soon as I said baptism in the Holy Spirit, maybe there was a part of you that kind of tensed up. Maybe there was a part of you that is kind of uncomfortable and you're not sure. And so that could be because maybe you've experienced it in a messy or chaotic or unorganized way. And if that is you here today, I just want to encourage you, because 1 Corinthians 14, it reminds us that God is a God of order. And God is a God of peace. He is not a God of chaos. He is not a God of distractions. He is a God of order and peace. And so in that scripture, in the chapter of 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is actually correcting a church that let some of the spiritual gifts get out of hand. And so he's bringing it back to order, okay? And so that should tell you and I that the Holy Spirit does not create chaos, all right? He brings clarity. And he does not force, all right? He invites, okay? We are not overridden. We yield to his love. We yield to his presence. We yield to his power. And so if you're here and a part of you is like, where is this going? I just want to affirm you that all we're going to talk about right now is what the truth of God says. And we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to be able to do what only he can do. And that's reveal to us his truth and bring us deeper into the love of God. Amen? All right. So the first baptism is baptism into the body of Christ. Okay? And so that's salvation. Corinthians 12:13 says, some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. We have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. This is what happens when you give your life to Jesus, okay? It is the Holy Spirit who draws you near, who brings you close, who opens your eyes and helps you reveal who Jesus is, okay? So the moment that you make that decision, that is salvation. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside your heart and he sets you apart and claims you as belonging to Jesus, okay? The second baptism is the one that we're most familiar with. That's the one that we're going to be doing today, which we're so excited. I cannot wait to celebrate with all the families here today. But that's water baptism. And so that is the public declaration that you make that you have decided that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. Okay? Romans 6:4 says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So this is when we go public with our faith, and it's really a symbolic representation that we are dying to our old life. We are dying to our sin. And the moment we come out of that water, we are being raised to new life in Jesus Christ. Now, for clarity, I do want to state for those who, again, different seasons of faith, water baptism is not what saves us, okay? Jesus Christ is the one that saves us. But that water baptism, that is a public declaration that we make that we are proud to belong to Jesus, okay? And that's why we do it. Now, the third baptism, this is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I believe that this is where I think a lot of believers really miss out. And I don't think that they miss out because they don't love Jesus. I don't think that they miss out because they're not saved. I believe that they miss out because they don't fully understand what baptism in the Holy Spirit is or who the Holy Spirit is. And so I want to talk about Acts 19, 2 to 6. You're going to see them behind me. I'm going to try and go through them as quick as I can. So in Acts 19, 2 to 6, we read that Paul here, he comes, he's on a journey, okay? And on this journey, he comes across a group of believers, all right? Believers in the faith. And when he does, he asks them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And so they reply, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So what does Paul do here in this moment? He lays hands on them, he prays for them, and then scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Okay, so this moment here is not about salvation. It was clear that they were already saved, and Paul knew that. This moment here was about this group of believers stepping into a deeper relationship, stepping into a spirit-filled life. That's what this moment here was about. And so Paul shows us that there is a difference between receiving the Holy Spirit and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Again, for clarity, I want to say that salvation is all we need to be able to spend eternity with Jesus, okay? We do not need baptism in the Holy Spirit to be with Jesus in heaven. All right. And if you don't receive baptism in the Holy Spirit, I want you to know that you are not some second class kind of Christian. Okay? Because I've had friends who have told me that in their walk with Christ, people have made them feel that way. And I'm like, no, the thief on the cross, Jesus turned to the thief on the cross. And the moment that the thief on the cross acknowledged him, he said, my friend, I will see you in paradise. So if you have accepted Jesus Christ, that is all you need to be able to receive God's glory, his grace, his beautiful love, and you will be with Jesus in heaven. So why do you need baptism in the Holy Spirit then if you don't need it for salvation? Because that's not the kind of life that God wants you to have. He wants you to have everything that his son Jesus died on the cross for you and I to be able to receive, okay? So baptism in the Holy Spirit is what equips you. That is what empowers you. That is what helps you have the boldness and the courage and the fire that you need to step out into the uncomfortable and make a difference for your Lord and your Savior, for the kingdom of God. I also want to clarify that the Holy Spirit empowers, but like I mentioned earlier, he does not override. And so I think that sometimes that's a fear that some of us may have. But I want you to know that we yield to his guidance. We yield to his power. It is a choice that we make in the moment to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us, okay? And the truth is that walking with the Holy Spirit, it is not a one-time thing. It is a lifetime of walking in freedom and boldness and authority and being able to hear his voice clearly. So right now I'm gonna call my sweet husband on stage, y'all. And for all of my University of Alabama fans, this is not a University of Alabama jersey, okay? We went neutral. I could have gone with the other team, which is what my family follows, but I chose to be neutral, so. I received that thank you, okay? So this jersey here, it represents belonging to a team, okay? The moment that you and I make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, that is the moment that we become part of God's family, we become part of God's team, we're saved, we belong, and that's great, okay? But here's the thing. Just because we belong to the team doesn't mean that we're on the field, okay? Right now, He's right there sitting, all right? But he's not moving. He's not in action, all right? Without the ball, Chris is just there sitting on the sidelines. He's waiting and he's watching, okay? But with the ball, now he is equipped and empowered to step into the mission field of God and be able to make a difference. Okay? And that is exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said that he was going to ask the Father to be able to send a helper. Because it is the Holy Spirit who helps us be able to carry out the purpose of God in our life, to spread the gospel, to live boldly, to be courageous. That is the Holy Spirit who helps us. I'll take this from you. Thank you. So, salvation gets you on the team. Thank you, baby. All right? Salvation gets you on the team. But baptism in the Holy Spirit, that is what equips you to step into the field of God. That is the power of God unleashed in your life. That is the power to pray with authority, to love with endurance, to be able to speak boldly, move courageously, to love with so much discernment, to move with discernment, to live your life in a spirit-filled way that God had intended and designed for every single believer to do. That is what baptism in the Holy Spirit does. It empowers you. It equips you. It gives you the authority that you will need in the most impactful moments that God has called you to be. Thank you so much. I'm sorry about that. What I'm trying to say, friends, is that salvation is for you, okay? The moment that you received the Holy Spirit in your heart, that you accepted Jesus Christ, that moment was for you as an individual, okay? But baptism in the Holy Spirit, that's not for you. That's for the world around you. That is for the kingdom of God, okay? There is a difference between the two. And I just want to say, I know that Jesus died on the cross so that you and I would be able to have everything we need. And I say this with love. There might be some of you here today who are maybe asking yourself, man, I'm doing all the things. I'm part of a life group. I come to church. I am praying, but I still feel like something is missing, and I don't know what it is. I want to let you know that I say this with love. It could be not that you don't love God. I don't even think that it's you're far away from God. It's not even maybe that you're broken. Sometimes we think that we're broken. Maybe it's the fact, and maybe it's not even the fact for my seasoned believers here. Maybe it's not even the fact that you need to receive baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you already have received that baptism. Maybe it's the fact that you haven't made space or time for the Holy Spirit to continue to fill you over and over again. Because I want to let you guys know that Ephesians 5:18, it does not say be filled once. No, it says it's a present tense command. It means keep on being filled. Keep on being filled. In fact, this is really, really cool. I had never studied it like this before, but in Acts 4, we read that the same believers that were filled at Pentecost are filled again. Why? Because life happens. Because life can be hard. Because change can be difficult. Because things and events in our life drain us. Because it is impossible for us to not depend on the presence and the living God inside of us, okay? Change is hard, and so that is why we see these believers be filled again, because we need a fresh outpouring to be able to stay in alignment and in intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So that tells you and I that Pentecost was not the finish line, guys. Pentecost was the starting point. That was the starting point for our faith. That was the starting point, okay? You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit and still feel spiritually dry because you have lost intimacy with Him. You can have all of the gifts that the Spirit wants to give you and still be completely disconnected because you have not spent time walking with Him. So maybe today you're here and maybe it is about your first baptism. But I know that there's a group of believers here that it is not about your first baptism. I believe that it is about your next surrender. I believe with all my heart that God is here today and He is making an invitation for every person here to become filled, to become free, to become bold, to receive that peace so that He can do what only He is able to do. I want to invite you guys to stand because we're gonna go into another time of worship here in a minute. And we're going to worship and then we're going to have an altar call. But while we worship, I'm going to pray for us in a second. While we worship, I want to invite each and every person, those of you who are up in the balcony, those of you who are watching online now or maybe you're watching this later, every person here, I want to invite you during worship to ask the Lord to help you become a believer that is not just sitting on the sidelines watching. No, ask the Holy Spirit to give you the strength, to give you the peace, to give you the boldness, to be able to be a believer who steps onto the field and makes a difference and stays on the field. And I know that can be hard, but that's why we don't have to do it alone. He is here willing to meet us where we are. So let's pray. Father God, Lord, we come together today, God, and I just want to ask, God, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would touch every single heart here, God. I pray, Lord, for those who have been afraid or hesitant, God, Lord, that you would fill them with your peace and your joy, and that you would show them that you have more for them. Lord, I pray that you would help believers here today not settle for less than what Jesus died on the cross to give them, God. Help us, Lord. I pray for the seasoned believers, God, who have been filled with the Spirit, God. I pray for a refilling. I pray for a fresh wind. I pray for an anointing. I pray, Father God, that you would do something new in every person here today for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.